Yeah, just getting the mic up in the proper position. And welcome to the Randy Corcoran program. Hey, where's Randy? Where is Randy? Yeah, it's Matt Dunn here, friend of Randy. The Backbone Radio Sunday guy showing up for duty to carry the torch. Every once in a while, Randy and I, we go back years together. We've stirred up plenty of trouble together. But we'll fill in for one another when one of us is on a secret mission of some sort, which is what Randy is up to this weekend. Every once in a while, I go on a secret classified mission, and I'll tap the great Randy Corcoran to sit in for Backbone Radio. And yes, I'll be back in here tomorrow night, 4 to 7 p.m. for a little Backbone Radio. And I try not to get overexposed. I mean, it's a little too much me, a little too much Matt Dunn showing up and talking. And if I made a habit of this, I do think the Republic couldn't really take it. I don't think the state could take it, could handle it, could absorb it all. And so I do it. I think of it as kind of a service to keep myself low profile and just kind of hidden off there out of the way a little bit, you know, because, yeah, you get the idea. And okay, John, back behind the glass. Thanks for the hospitality here. We'll just see what unfurls tonight. Normally I come in with three or four sort of long form where I can talk about something nonstop for 30 minutes without interruption because I'm all worked up about this or that topic. And I've got like seven of them tonight, maybe eight. And sometimes I walk in with seven or eight, and then I come up with seven or eight more on the fly. So we've got, oh man, we're loaded. We're loaded, ladies and gentlemen. We'll just try to get through it all. And if we don't get through it all, we'll come back in here tomorrow night and take another swing at it for the fences. America first, ladies and gentlemen. I like a lot of things about where we are right now. I like a lot of lay of the land. And I think, yeah, first hour, let's get to the nitty-gritty of the politics. And I'll try not to talk too much about the great snowstorm. Love that. How many inches did you get at your place, John? Were you over around 20 or so, or...?
We got about 18 inches over in Aurora.
18. Okay, I'm guessing 16, 17, 18 in my little abode. And, man, I did the shoveling, and it took me 2 hours to shovel my driveway, that heavy snow. I walk in with a little soreness from all that muscle action. I've already run my miles today out in the snow. I did a trail run. And I prefer winter snow to run on than spring snow because, you know, it gets kind of muddy and you post hole, your foot goes all the way down, and then you have to lift it back up, and you're like 15 inches down. Takes a lot out of you. So you got to be tough, don't you? Life is hard. You got to be tough. That's kind of how we look at things. Anyway, I will get into a little bit of free luft zu live, which is a little phrase that I've kind of gotten onto lately, and it's a Norwegian word, and it translates to the open-air life, which we know a lot about here in Colorado, and we'll get into that. I had the axe out. I was chopping wood. We had a wood fire for the family. What do you think of that? You can't have one of those synthetic fires. You need real wood, don't you think? Real wood. That's how we do it at our abode, the real stuff. That's how you get that good feeling in the Colorado winters. I guess it's kind of getting springy, but I'm still clinging to winter. I do feel satisfied having had this big snowstorm. I'm kind of loud about that, even on the radio. Say, hey, we haven't had enough snow yet. I'm not satisfied yet. But this week, I'm getting kind of closer to being satisfied. But let's talk about that. Free luft zu live as the time goes on. And another little question mark out there. Who is the biggest enemy that we faced? Who is it? Is it some other country out there across an ocean or two? Is it China? Is it Russia? Is it Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum? Who is the biggest enemy? Do you ever sit back and sometimes wonder that it is indeed our own ruling class, our own current government as constituted right now. Do you ever wonder that thought? Yeah, I think it should be popping into people's heads here and there. The more you understand what is happening to this once great country, when you see it, when you see the propaganda, when you see the lies, when you see how the left in particular, but also the rhinos, the ruling class, the Beltway, how they have blooming lost their minds. These people have just gone crazy. They have gone nuts. And as they feel themselves getting squeezed, with Donald Trump just sailing through the primary, he's now the official presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, beating Biden in all of the polls, and they're like, wow, what are they going to do? They're a cornered animal right now. And who is the biggest enemy? And I think, you know, who does the spying? Who does the targeting of patriotic Americans? Who used to target terrorists abroad? And they said, hell, what the hell? Let's just start targeting Americans right here at home, our political opponents. Who wants to put their political opponents in jail? Yeah, just something to explore and something that I think a lot of people are, their eyes are opening to about the reality of where we are now as a country. And that, does that make patriotism a little bit problematic for anybody out there? You know, I've always been the flag-waving kind of guy. Really patriotic. I grew up right here in Denver metro area. Yeah, I'm a Colorado patriot. Love this land, and I've studied American history. I've studied the founders, the Constitution, the Declaration, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, on up to Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. And I'm the flag-waving patriot kind of guy, but isn't it kind of hard to be patriotic now in some ways? And you gotta take my meaning in a certain way here. Love for your country, love for your nation, love for its history, most all of it. But yet, does it feel a little different to hang up a flag now, to wave a flag, to have flags on your clothing, or your baseball hat? Is it in some ways feel different now when you look at the current government and how repulsive, revolting, disgusting, and insane and America last they are, the people in power? They seem to despise this country, and they seem to be like systematically going out of their way to find ways to make the things that we are normally so patriotic about sort of make us feel, oh man, that's a bummer. Just, you know, West Point is now going woke. Big story over there at the conservative treehouse. And go down the list. You turn on the television, and aren't you just kind of disgusted? Hollywood, Disney, the rest of it. Makes patriotism a little, in some ways, is almost impossible now. And I would submit to you that that is by design. By design. Almost like an algorithm has been run to find things that patriots, traditional patriots in this country, have loved about this country. And they try to find some way to, you know, like get in there and pour acid all over it. That's what the leftists do. That's what the rhinos do. That's what our ruling class has been doing in a most systematic fashion. And it's gotten to the point where these folks on top, who, how'd they get there? Yeah, you know how they got there. Where someone like Elon Musk is out there saying this, that, hey, there is either a red wave this November or America is doomed. Imagine 4 more years of this getting worse. That's a quote from Elon Musk, the space genius electric car dude who does seem to care a lot more about free speech in his purchase of X than the last folks did, where it was all about censorship and shutting you down. Remember those days? It's a little bit better now. It's not as good as it could be, but it's a little bit better. I think they still have the DHS sneaking in the algorithms here and there, and I still, you can kind of perceive it when they're playing little games there. But yet, it's a lot better. And again, the quote from Elon Musk, quote, There is either a red wave this November or America is doomed. Imagine four more years of this getting worse, end quote. Now, when you get a generally sober guy like Elon Musk saying stuff like that, that, man, you know what? If we don't have a red wave, which means if Trump does not win in 2024, we are hosed, ladies and gentlemen. And I think that is the exact right perspective to be having, is that we have got to find a way to get Donald Trump over the top, ladies and gentlemen. And he's already on top. He's already doing it. But guess what? You've got this cornered animal in power, that small handful of freak jobs behind the curtain in the beltway. Never forget, there's so many more of us than there are of them. In fact, there's only a handful of them back there pulling the strings. We have got to get this to work out. And the people out there that want to be the dilettantes and say, oh, you know, there's like 10 of them. I wish I had Ron DeSantis, or, oh, it should have been Nikki Haley. There's like 12 of those people out there. There's the occasional conservative intellectual type that, you know, they want to find fault with Trump in some way. But, you know, nobody would be on the more intellectual side than Elon Musk. And he has the right perspective, is that, hey, red wave for 2024, or we are blooming doomed, ladies and gentlemen. Can we have the forever wars, the foreign policy catastrophes, the inflation catastrophe, the rest of it, the wide open border, the migrant crime, the total loss of trust and faith in our election systems, and the rest of it? The fabric is fraying in this country, and we have got to gather it back together before it is too late, before we are completely, totally, and entirely doomed. And I would say this, talking about the cornered animal that all eyes are on, the deep state. That's the phrase that I pioneered around here years ago on Backbone Radio. The unelected, the spooks, the bureaucrats back there in Washington, D.C., who really want their power. They're bitterly clinging to their power. They're not about to let go of their power. They will do anything to hold on to their power. What stunts will they pull between now and November 2024? There's going to be some stunts. Keep your eye on them for the stunts. So the spotlight is on these people. We all know. We all know. Any stunts that happen between now and November come straight out of these desperate, cornered, behind-the-curtain deep staters. Any stunts will be on them. So eyes open, head on a swivel, watch. Watch for what happens. See what their maneuvers are. See if any big, strange surprises come our way, or things that change the way we have to vote again, right? Yeah, we have to vote in this way now. We can't vote in the old ways now, say the people behind the curtain. Yeah, you ready for all of that? Mike Pence says, by the way, he's not going to be endorsing Donald Trump. Oh, yeah. See, the people like Mike Pence and Liz Cheney and the Bushes and the rest of these fools, like the Romneys and the McCains, and they would rather see America go away entirely, like it is hastily doing under Joe Biden. That's what they want. The rhinos are comfortable with that. Just the complete and total destruction of this country from within. Yeah. But, good old Pence, you know, he said he was going to sign that loyalty pledge because he got himself into those debates back in the day. But now is it because he's a fake Christian and a complete and total phony, pathetic, loser, weasel man? Won't endorse Donald Trump when he said he was going to be a part of that loyalty pledge? Yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, Nikki Haley did the same thing? Oh, yeah, she actually signed the loyalty pledge. Whereas my research says that Pence said he was going to sign the loyalty pledge, but I don't know if he actually did. He said he was going to sign it so we could get into the debate, and I don't think he got around to it. But he said he was going to sign it, and so that implies that if your word means anything, then you should do that, right? He's a good Christian, talks about his Christianity all the time, does Mike Pence. And I always say that we Christians have to watch out for the fake Christians, for the manipulator Christians, for the ones that have the forked tongue like a Mike Pence out there who, again, are far more comfortable putting America last and the rest of it. Okay, and I've got, I just got through my first few ideas here, and I've got this big old pile. Anyway, the phone number here, 303-696-1971. If you have a window to drop by, check in, send a text to studio. A nice batch has already been showing up to help keep host on track. And again, Matt Dunn in for Randy Corcoran. Let's unfurl this thing tonight, and so glad your ears are on board. Be right back. Yeah, don't think twice. Little Mike Ness channeling Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan bringing us back. Mike Ness coming to town with Social Distortion. I believe that's in, like, May or something, and apparently it's already sold out. Bummer. Bummer, man. I always find out about these shows after they're sold out. But what are you going to do? I did watch a little video that Mike Ness recorded, and one of my favorite musicians for whatever reason. I've seen them in concert a time or two when I somehow got lucky. They came up big when I was in college in the L.A. area. They're a L.A. band, Orange County punk band. But Mike Ness was saying that his favorite, like his role model musicians, artists, songwriters, singers are, and he named three of them. One, Hank Williams Sr., cool. Two, Buck Owens, very cool. And three, George Jones. Kind of interesting that this punk guy with the full body of tattoos comes up out of Orange County, California. But who does he like? He likes George Jones. King George, we call him around here. Buck Owens, the Bakersfield Sound. And Hank Sr. And he does channel a lot of that into his music, which is maybe kind of why I like that dude. And we'll maybe bring a bit more Mike Ness. Maybe tomorrow I'm going to do some pedal steel Ness honky tonk rockin' action the whole night. We're going to mix it up over here on the Corcoran program. Thanks for getting all that music in, producer Corbliss back there. At any rate, yeah, you just the text come in about Mike Pence. What an outright weasel dude is Mike Pence. And you know, when he was running for the Republican nomination, he just kept putting his foot in his mouth, and he went out about 0% in the polls with his tail between his legs. Absolute humiliation. But you want to hear what Pence says? I'm not going to endorse. Yeah. Here we go.
Your former president, you were on the ticket with him last time around.
Well, Martha, I appreciate the question. And it should come as no surprise that I will not be endorsing Donald Trump this year.
Oh, no surprise. Well, it does surprise me, because you can look up the Fox News article from when they had the Fox News debate for the Republican candidates, and Pence came out and said that he was going to sign the loyalty pledge in which he would endorse the eventual nominee of the party. But then Mike Pence, of course, because... because his word means nothing, he finks out and goes fake Christian on us. And by that, he's endorsing Joe Biden. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having had this traitor, weasel, fake, phony Christian in the White House all those years under Trump, backstabbing everybody, undermining everything good, undermining all the America First stuff? He got rid of that General Flynn, one of the first orders of business for phony, fake Mike Pence was to get General Flynn booted out of the White House. Good job there, Pence. So, I mean, you have to learn, especially as Christians, to understand that there's a bunch of fake ones out there in politics. There's a bunch of fake Christians out there in politics who do want to talk like a certain game about their faith and how holy they are. Holy, holy Pence, you know. Every other word out of his mouth is about how holy he is, and I'm not buying it. I mean, I'm not buying even one word of that, and it gets bad when you realize how The whole point is to try to manipulate you, and that's his deal. So, yeah, Pence is effectively endorsing Joe Biden, which is effectively endorsing the insanity of everything Biden has done to wreck this place. And as Elon Musk said, and as I've been quoting, quote, "There is either a red wave this November or America is doomed." Imagine 4 more years of this getting worse. Can you imagine that? 4 more years? 4 more years of this getting worse? Yeah. Let's get to the point, ladies and gentlemen. Let's save this place. It's got to be done. Our backs are to the wall. So far, so good. So far, everything is going like what I've been expecting, like what I've been saying. Going to get into that maybe at some point. But this is like 2024 is shaping up to be the "we were right about everything" election. And that's an essay from Mark Hemingway over in The Federalist. And I might just go down the list of the things we've been right about. And it's like everything. Might need a 10-hour show. Yeah, we were right about that. Oh, yeah, we were right about that. Yep, we were right about that, too. And here comes November. All right, let's start saying some hellos. And very honored to have full lines already as we're just lighting this candle. And Brian in Arvada checking in with us. And how you been, sir?
Dr. Dunn, I've been doing good. How you been?
Been pretty fine. Enjoying.
I've been a little disappointed. I wanted a little bit more snow. I want to get completely snowed in. I want to bury my car. I can't go nowhere.
You didn't quite get there?
I watch Fox News Pinpoint Weather Alert and watch them all out there telling me what's going on, because I can be comfortable at home. It's actually awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's part of what Colorado is all about. I just love it. I mean, those flakes were huge. Those flakes are coming down.
I got to give a shout out to Pinpoint Weather Alert on, Fox News Local. They're always out there with their little weather beast, and we all can sit at home and be comfortable, so it's kind of nice.
Well, I hope you were cooped up a little bit, you know. I mean, you weren't out doing all your normal stuff, were you?
I sat at home, and I drank beer and ate bacon. That's what I did.
Boy, that's the life, man. Brother Brian?
Yeah.
The producer is cracking up behind the glass. He's saying, that's how you do it, man. Okay.
A man only needs two things. He needs bacon and he needs beer.
Okay.
And that's it. And maybe Mr. Dunn on a Saturday night. That kind of helps the whole situation.
Yeah. So we're cool with that. I have had some folks say that, and this is, I'm getting this kind of increasingly, where some folks will say that, hey, when it's Backbone Radio time, they get the family around the radio. They turn on the radio. They sit around. They listen. And I got to tell you, that just is the coolest thing, to think that there's some folks out there doing that. Maybe they've got a fire on. Maybe the snow is falling out the window. I mean, that's like the right vibe, you know, right there.
It is. Everybody wants to hang out with Dr. Dunn. He's out having fun. Oh, it's snowing. I'm not worried. I'm going to take my skis and just travel across country.
That's right. In my run today down the trail, I ran over some ski tracks. It was like somebody else was out there skiing. I didn't put my skis on, but I had ski envy. I was like, I would have liked to have been the dude that made those tracks. But I was the runner.
Well, we all want your energy, Dr. Dunn, okay?
Yeah.
You're pulling teeth during the day, and your butt is traveling across snow at night. You got a lot of energy, and we respect that about you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just, I got one speed, and that's high, man. Tell you. We'll see how long it lasts. But
we could all live through you and your energy, and we got no energy. We're just going, this whole thing's a mess with Fannie Willis. We got cheating going on. We got that idiot Garland out there going, no, you don't need voter ID. No, let's ask ourselves a question. What yeah. guy is living in America with no ID? That I know they all want to vote for Biden. But how many of those fellas are there? I mean, there can't be too many. Maybe half a dozen?
Yeah, Garland's position is that, hey, let's bring 12 million people illegally into this country, and then, hey, Let's get rid of voter ID. That's the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're not catching on. We're really stupid. I think that'll be a great idea. I mean, the whole thing on its face is retarded. People got to wake up. These are scam artists. There's criminals running the situation right now.
And, I'd agree.
You know,
I'd agree. Yep.
To people like you, maybe it'll change one day. I don't know. Maybe we'll have too many dumb people. I don't know.
Well,
I guess we'll figure it out.
We're heading into quite the dramatic conflict heading into November. And it really is. I mean, am I wrong to say this is good versus evil? This is America survives or America does not survive? That's what we're heading into,
Brian.
That's
exactly what it is.
Yep.
And you know what? People that want to make it easier to cheat are probably wanting to cheat. I mean, that's just my guess. I'm taking a wild shot at this. I know and stuff.
That's a case of what you call deductive reasoning, Brian. And I think that's good. No, deductive reasoning, which is like, you know, Sherlock Holmes, like, okay, if A is going on, then B is probably going on. I'm with you, man. I think you've nailed it. I think that's the summarium right there.
So they're going to come up with something, Mr. Dunn. They're going to come up with something. It's either whether people are going, oh, okay, well, I figured it out this time. You know, last time they had me in a mask, which the yes. virus was 60,000 times smaller than the hole in your mask, you idiot. And everybody bought it. And some people still buy it. But yeah. Maybe people have woken up. I don't know. I'm like a guy in the background just watching a movie of a nightmare, actually.
Yeah, actually. And by the way, a research facility, and I have the article. I guess I won't pull it out, but they're saying that there is no such thing as long COVID. They're saying that that's not really a thing. And so that needs to be dropped, this feeling that there's a long COVID going on out there, that the data just does not support that. And I believe this is over at Mike Benz, B-E-N-Z on Twitter, who brought some of this together, you know, saying that, when you look at the COVID data, it does appear to be flu-like, basically like some of the original thinking was, that this is just another variation of the flu. And so some of that information needs to be settled, but you'll notice that they make it hard for you to get this information clear in your mind, which is part of how you know you're being swamped by these folks, right?
Well, Mr. Dunn, I lived through the dumbest part of my life. I didn't even have to be a scientist. The first thing I said is, honey, how big is the virus? She goes, well, gee golly, it takes 60,000 of these little critters to equal a grain of sand. I said, well, how's the big a hole that you're wearing the mask on? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so basically 60,000 of these creatures can run through the hole in your mask. It's a micro world. They call it micro for a reason. You can't see it,
well,
you idiots.
Well, I'll tell you.
Everybody bought into it, and we all just folded like a bunch of weirdos. I guess I'll wear a mask to Walmart. Of course, I can't go to the local stores, you know, the small businesses.
The question,
that's
Brian,
off limits on
is,
that one.
What's it going to be for 2024, and will the people fold again? Will the docility show up? And I like to think it will not.
They will cheat.
Well,
will cheat.
We're going to see.
And they'll probably have a bunch of, unsecured drop boxes. I mean,
oh, yeah.
We
watch
had 30,000 Chinese nationals coming through San Diego. They're the biggest part that's coming over the border right now. So they're setting us up for something. It's, are we going to be cowards? Are we going to be smart? Or are we going to be stupid?
Right,
that's
on, man.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah,
war comes in many forms, my friend.
As the open-ended question, and Brian, I'm glad you're sitting out there with the snow all around you, and you're thinking these brilliant thoughts. And I guess we're coming up. Oh, I didn't press a button. Did you press a button? Oh, we lost Brian somehow. I did not touch anything, but we were getting a little pressure on the break, but I did not press a button. I looked at the button, but I didn't press it. There's a difference, you see. At any rate, if you're on the phone lines, if you could please hang on. Brad Lakewood, let's talk Ken Buck when we come back. It's Matt Dunn. I'm in for Randy Corcoran, the one and only, the groovy, the super cool Randy Corcoran. and let's be putting America first when we come back. Yeah, little Social D bringing us back. Is that a good tune or what? And that's a little tune about the struggle, a little bit of struggle with faith, with Christianity. And Mike Ness has been in that struggle. And, you know, I'm talking about Mike Pence. No struggle. He's got it all worked out. He's got it totally figured and under control, which, little too slick there. There needs to be a little bit of struggle, a little bit of up and down, a little bit of wrestling. Like Dr. Jordan Peterson. Somebody was just texting about Dr. Peterson, whose next book coming out, I believe August, September, is called We Who Wrestle With God, which is, I'm really looking forward to that. He's the guy that wrote the 12 Rules for Life. And then, what was his next book? More Order, there's 10 more rules or something. And I am trying to get back to those and reading them a little bit right now. Fascinating dude. Kind of on point, if you know what I'm saying. Even though he's Canadian, try not to hold that against him. You got to give Peterson points for being up there in Trudeau's face. Man, he does not have any use for that Trudeau guy up there in Canada, the World Economic Forum kind of person that, you know, you could ask the same question in Canada. Who is the biggest enemy of the Canadian citizen? Some other country somewhere around the world? No, it's probably Trudeau. Kind of like right here. Who is the biggest enemy of you, American citizen, American patriot? Is it China? Is it Russia? Is it somewhere else? No, I'm kind of thinking it's our own beltway right here. I mean, think about it. It's a strange thought to think. But I think we have crossed that Rubicon, and that's part of the fallout of the since the escalator 2015. But Ken Buck, good old Ken Buck. Let's talk to Brad about that. Ken Buck has left Congress. He is bailed. He's quitting. We knew he wasn't going to be running for re-election, but apparently he's walking out of the door a little ahead of schedule. And I'll tell you what, the guy who was going to drain the swamp wrote the book and needs to write the sequel, Join the Swamp, Become Subsumed by the Swamp, Love the Swamp, Embrace Everything About the Swamp. But you want to talk about making your exit in a strange blaze of just dishonor. That is our guy, Ken Buck. But Brad in Lakewood, you have any thoughts on Ken Buck, the swamp drainer guy?
Yes, Ken Buck hurt us in three different ways. Number one, our slim majority drops to 218. If we lose one more seat, that drops us to 217. Number two, Ken Buck was one of the 105 fools that voted to expel George Santos. That means he basically cost us two seats. And they're saying the reason Buck did this is because they want to hurt Loam Boebert, because Loam Boebert can't run in the special election, because then we'd be minus a seat in the third district. And whoever wins that special election, in all likelihood, will win the election in November. So I understand there's going to be two elections on June 25th, the first one to fill the seat from June to November, and then the next one is who decides who's going to be our nominee from in 2024 in November, or we're in that election, if I understood it correctly. So Buck actually did three things to hurt us. I think he's doing this to hurt Loam Boebert the most, though.
That makes sense to me, Brad. I think you've got it dialed in there. Some people are saying that, well, you know, what they're really angling for is to try to get the Republican Party in the minority so you lose our Republican speaker. And I guess you could say he's nominally a Republican, kind of a, you know, spineless, no backbone kind of speaker who doesn't seem to have a whole lot to really do that's inspiring. But yeah, the hurting Loam Boebert thing makes every bit of sense. And I did not know that about Boebert cannot run in that special election in June. How much of a difference will that make? Yeah, it'll make it probably harder for Boebert heading into November. I guess we'll see. Won't we?
Well, Boebert does have a lead about 25%, so I think she can still pull it off. But according to what Dan Bongino said, Ken Buck claims there's three other Republicans that are ready to resign between now and October 2 between now and October or November, because the Republican Party really, really hates their base, and they hate the voters of America. And Bongino says there's three Republicans. If Buck is accurate, three more Republicans are going to pull the same stunt.
That would not surprise me at all. Once again, the Republican Party, most of it is rhino, most of it is phony, most of it is not really Republicans, right? If you're a real Republican, if you care about this country, if you want to put America first, you'll be going nowhere, right? You will be staying right in there fighting for this nation. But if you got in on false pretenses, if you lied your way up the chain, if you got essentially the Democrat, globalist, uniparty donor money to get you installed in there, then they say, hey, it's time for you to go so we can get the GOP and the minority and the rest of it. I guess we're going to see this play out. You know, it's kind of like, getting a little bit closer to reality. But, of course, it leaves the voters in the lurch, the voters who thought they were voting for a Ken Buck to put America first and secure the border and the rest of it. But, of course, he gets out there, does the opposite, right, and spreads the disease, does Ken Buck. So, I don't know, Brad, do you see that happening?
Yeah, possibly. But my question would be, who would become the speaker then? Because I believe you need 218 to become speaker, and if we fall to 217 or 216, the most the Democrats have right now is 214, and if you need 218 to become speaker, would we not have a speaker then, or do they have a safeguard mechanism put into place, because neither party would have 218 votes?
Yeah, but I would expect in that case you'd have the rhinos vote for the Democrat speaker. And I would expect it to go Democrat in that situation, because no Democrats are secretly Republicans, and a lot of Republicans are secretly actually Democrats, right? So we would have no chance in that scenario is my gut instinct there.
I guess so. That's what Dan Bongino often says, and I think in addition to not liking Lauren Boebert, the Republican establishment, they hate Trump just as much as they hate Boebert.
Right. And you do wonder, I mean, why does this Republican establishment keep persisting in doing what they're doing? I mean, they're so despised by their own voters, by the American people, and they get up there and they have to lead these lives of just fraud all the time, putting America last. I mean, what? I don't know what's in it for them. Why are they enjoying that? And they can't be enjoying that much, you know, wouldn't they rather just be true to themselves and tell it like it really is and, you know, go put America last and be a communist and join a commune somewhere? It kind of would make more sense to me.
I agree, and I think, in a sense, Mike Johnson is far worse than Kevin McCarthy, because McCarthy had that deals worked out with the Rules Committee. If the majority of the majority was opposed to something, they wouldn't bring it to the floor. What Mike Johnson does is he suspends the rules. Then he goes to the Democrats and says, I got a bill so bad that I can't get another Republican to support it. Let's pass this bill with Democrat support. And now they're saying Mike Johnson is going to go to the Democrats to get Democrats' votes to fund Ukraine. So as bad as Kevin McCarthy was, Mike Johnson's far, far worse. And he's a prime example of a fake Christian, if there ever was one.
Yeah, and that's how we got in there and how we didn't get Jim Jordan. And so he made the concession on Ukraine, most certainly. But, well, Brad, you're always adding to the information, Brad. So if you would, keep close with us. We need your advice. We need your input. And sometimes it's tough what we hear, but we're getting closer to reality, right? So, Brad, thank you, sir. All the best. And little Mike action, Mike in Littleton. What's going on with you, sir? Mike.
Well, Mr. Dunn, how are you? Hey, let's see, I was out snowshoeing here in town, and I that was the hardest snowshoeing, and I've got Scandinavian heritage. It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, my legs are destroyed from that. But
I totally salute and approve of that activity, snowshoeing. Well done.
Oh, it was great along the trails in the open space here. But hey, boy, it's tough following old B squared bacon and beer Brian. but I'm gonna try. I need to call earlier. I'll tell you. You know, we have in the past have talked about the cloud of the unknowing.
Yes.
And I use that as almost a analogy to how we're ruled now. I don't know who's – it's not Joe. Joe's not in charge.
Nope.
I don't know who's behind us, who's behind all that, but it's a vast cloud of the unknown or the unknowing.
The cloud of unknowing is a work of theology, philosophy from the Middle Ages that somehow both Mike and I have read, and it's a fascinating piece. And the author of it is anonymous. They still don't know exactly wrote that, but it's an iconic spiritual missive comes out of the Middle Ages. Yeah,
Matt. So I was going to segue real quick to the cloud is, and you know, I don't trust the Republicans anymore. I don't know who they are.
Right.
I don't know what they're behind, but TikTok is one that is kind of setting me off currently. Republicans used to stand for private property rights and, you know, freedom. And here we go. It looks to me, and I appreciate your opinion because I'm more from the libertarian wing of the Republican Party or maybe outright libertarian, but it looks to me that we're in a classic example of seizing somebody's property for some unknown reason, security reason, or polluting the minds of our kids reason?
Yeah, this is one of those stunts that I think might have a lot of other meanings, and Trump is saying that he thinks that this will help empower Facebook, which is far more of a threat to our country than is TikTok. And of course, TikTok, you can badmouth China all you want, which I certainly do, and I have no love for TikTok. I don't let my family go on TikTok and all that.
There you go.
But I would say that who really is the bigger threat? And I was asking that earlier in the program. Is it our own government, our own beltway, our own ruling class? Is it Facebook? Or is TikTok? You know what I'm saying?
You kind of triggered me there because I recently, a lot of flags in the neighborhood are out in front of houses and so I thought, you know, maybe you ought to do that. And I thought, well, wait a minute, when I put that out there, what is it symbolizing in my mind? Does it symbolize the current America, the old America,
exactly.
the one, let's just say, and it's like, you know what? It gave me second thoughts. I don't want to appear to support the insanity that we're living under right now. And you're right. 4 more years, we're done.
Yep. Elon Musk is saying that. And that's isn't patriotism. Isn't it problematic these days? It makes you feel weird these days, and that's by design, that the things that we have been most patriotic about have been the things that the left has poured the most acid on, right? And so you look at the flag a little differently now, and boy, I want to get it back. I want to get that flag back to where it belongs, Mike. And boy, I love it when you check in. So make sure you check in more often. you both, all the insights. Yep. Thank you, Mike. All the best.
Take care.